Hey, good evening, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. The Malloy Program. Well, looks like the public option is dead in a doornail, right? Who are they counting on? Max Baucus and Olympia Snowe? Well, they're counting on Olympia Snowe, the Democrats were, but even Max Baucus cut their throats with the public option. He voted no again, you know, voted against it. It's kind of like that scene in the Julius Caesar where after being warned, I mean, Caesar was warned, and he's walking through the or outside on the steps of the forum, the Senate forum, and here they come, Cassius and Brutus and whoever else took a stab at him. A two, Brute? And you, Brutus? Yeah, and me, boss. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The public option is dead, and if the public option is dead, and the Democrats, this is where I leave the Democratic Party. I mean, I'm so gone. I am so out of here. If it turns out to be the case, I don't know anymore who's writing the legislation. I know there are a couple of bills in the House, and now this piece of garbage in the Senate. Yada yada. Michael Moore and the head of the California Nurses Association. I don't have her name right in front of me here, but they co-blogged a piece at Huffington Post today that I'll be sharing with you. And a couple other items. All right. Now, tomorrow night, I will be at Yoshi's in San Francisco, courtesy of Green 960, our affiliate in San Francisco. So I hope they sold some more tickets. I'll look for you there. And filling in for me will be Brad Friedman, who he's got a guest who he has on tomorrow night. Every time I'm gone, he has these great guests. CIA counterterrorism vet Phil Giraldi will be on tomorrow night. He's the author of the recent cover story interview with Sybil Edmonds. To see a quick information, a quick bio piece or a quick piece about what he's going to talk about, go to bradblog.com. Bradblog.com. It's up there tonight, and you'll have an idea of what Brad's going to talk about tomorrow night. So Brad will be filling in. And then Thursday and Friday, we'll be back live on the air coming from the facilities in San Francisco. So hang around for that. And if you live in the Bay Area, if you haven't got your tickets yet, come on. You don't have much time left in less than 24 hours. Well, 24 hours, less than 24 hours here on the East Coast. A nice Canadian friend named Claudette, and she's got the word nice emphasized. She writes, since you don't mind correction, here's mine. Coup de grâce. If you say coup de grâce, it sounds like the word for fat. So there you go. It's coup de grâce. I thought S's were silent, Kathy. You took French. Coup de grâce. All right, well, just keep them coming. I mean, that's fine. I didn't know that. Ugh. Huh?
Maybe you should just try doing the
English?
Program in English.
I think so. I think I should stop trying to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Accents aren't working.
Do you have that piece of music? Play that for me, will you? This is one of my favorite Beatles songs. And, of course, Lucy died yesterday or today. Her name was Lucy Vaden. She was a classmate of Julian Lennon. And Julian Lennon came home one day and he showed his father a drawing of his four-year-old classmate. And he said, "That's Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
With tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope
course, everybody thought that it was an LSD reference. The BBC banned that track, which appeared on, of course, Sgt. Pepper album. And the BBC said, oh, no, can't do it. It's a drug reference. It spells out LSD. Can't do it. And what is interesting, I was reading in, where was I reading today? In Scientific American. I happened to go pick up a copy. I don't subscribe to that, but it looked like an interesting copy. And there are experiments. Now, Philip Hoffman is an actor. Someone Hoffman, who invented LSD. In Germany all those years ago. He died last year at the age of 102, and right before he died, he found out that some experiments were finally going to be done, legitimate scientific experiments about the properties of lysergic acid, where it concerned dealing with anxiety, where it concerns a terminal diagnosis, allow people to confront their deaths without unnecessary panic. And also whether or not LSD had properties that did enhance or invigorate creativity. And I understand that UC Berkeley is part of this experiment, and a group in the UK, I think. Lucy Vaden died of lupus. Her death was announced yesterday at St. Thomas Lupus Trust in London, where she'd been treated for more than 5 years. And the story is that when Julian came home with a drawing, as your kid did, or your niece, your nephew, whatever, and, you know, they've drawn this picture, one of their classmates, and Julian said to John Lennon, "This is Lucy in the sky with diamonds." But no, it was all about drugs. Just like Puff the Magic Dragon was all about drugs, right? Oh, my God. Anybody ever heard of a freak named Trent Frank? He's a representative, a Republican, obviously, from Arizona. I don't understand why there are so many wing nuts running around Arizona and somehow get themselves elected to the U.S. House. Is it the weird gun laws? Listen to Representative Trent Frank, Republican of Arizona.
Obama's first act as president of any consequence in the middle of a financial meltdown was to send taxpayers' money overseas to pay for the killing of unborn children in other countries. Now, I got to tell you, a president will do that. There's almost nothing that you should be surprised at after that.
Oh.
We shouldn't be shocked that he does all these other insane things. A president that has lost his way that badly, that has no ability to see the image of God in these little fellow human beings, if he can't do that right, then he has no place in any station of government, and we need to realize that he is an enemy of humanity.
Enemy of humanity. I guess the Nazi tag didn't stick. The efforts of Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck to the contrary notwithstanding. I guess the socialist, fascist, communist tag didn't stick. The efforts of Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck to the contrary notwithstanding. Let's see. He's been a birther, a death. No, he's not an American. He's an alien. He's Christ Almighty. Now, this dumb son of a bitch, Trent Frank, Republican of Arizona. Jesus, I hope he's listening to this on KPHX, our affiliate in Phoenix. You, sir, are a dumb son of a bitch. Okay? All caps. This dumbass says that we, I don't know, who's he referring to? Some group of evangelical Bible beaters? We need to realize that he's an enemy of humanity. God damn. That's how far these freaks are willing to go. The president of the United States is an enemy of humanity because he does insane things. When are we going to purge this country of people like Trent Frank? At least get him out of the legislative branch of government. Let him stay home and dribble on themselves, okay?
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts.
Hey, truth seekers. Here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. I'm just wondering how long this can go on, this constant stridency from... Wait till I share something with you from... it was at... I think it originated at the garbage dump Newsmax, and it was picked up by Media Matters, which is a rational website. But I want to share that with you a little bit later. But this Trent Frank, this crazy son of a bitch from Arizona, to send taxpayer money overseas to pay for the killing of unborn children in other countries. What the hell is he talking about? Family plan, money that goes to clinics in places that this jackass Trent Frank wouldn't set foot in. Oh, you're worried about fetuses. You're worried about blastocysts. You're worried about birth control. You piece of human waste. Oh my God. But he says, a president that has lost his way that badly, has no place in any station of government, and we need to realize he's an enemy of humanity. Well, I guess, let's see if Beck can top that tomorrow. Enemy of humanity, what's next? The primary negative force in the solar system. In a galactic sense, Barack Obama is the worst of any possible life forms anywhere in the Milky Way. And then anywhere within five, well, they can't go beyond that because, well, they actually can't go to the Milky Way because then they defy their crazy belief about the talking snake in 6,000 years and Eve popping out of Adam's ass or wherever she popped out of. Oh, my God, I hate these people. I hate them. The writer of this email included her name, but also... says anonymous in South Carolina. I certainly understand. The subject line is the level of hate among children in school. And anonymous writes, my 14-year-old son told me that he wishes Obama would never have been elected. This shocked me because he was very happy about Obama winning the election. I asked why he would say that. He said, Mom, there is so much hatred for anyone who is pro-Obama. I said, you mean the town hall protesters? She said, no, Mom. I mean kids who hung out with me last year at school hate me now and call me a Nazi. I said, why would they say that? He said, because I told them that the economy was getting better and I'm happy about it. He went on to say, my dad is getting more work. And if health care reform is passed, my parents won't have to pay so much for my mom because she's a diabetic and can't get insurance. He said the other boy told him he was retarded. And if you like that Nazi, Obama, he was a Nazi too. What are people teaching their kids? My son doesn't even want to go back to school because he's very hurt that his good friend turned on him for liking the President of the United States. Man. The Newsmax website is a garbage dump. It's kind of like Free Republic, only worse in a way. FreeRepublic.com, I think, that's just where these dumbass right-wingers cluster and play with each other and, get all gender diverse. It's where boys can be boys, if you know what I mean, right? Right? The same people who just despise those queers get together at Free Republic and, well, you know. Newsmax is worse because Newsmax presents itself as a news site. Hence the title, Newsmax. Kind of like Fox News Channel. Somebody there named John Perry wrote a piece that was, I believe it was posted today. Media Matters, which monitors this right-wing hate speech and this garbage and filth and puke so that people like you and me don't have to. We can go to Media Matters to pick up the more insane ramblings of these people over at Newsmax. Media Matters captured it. and had it on their website, and I want to share it with you when we come back. You know, from saying that, that Barack Obama is an enemy to humanity, is that, what did he say, Kathy? Enemy to humanity? Enemy of humanity and children going to school and coming home freaked out because, I don't know, the poison in this country is ankle deep now. And I don't know what the payoff is for these people, other than the fact that they're a bunch of goddamn freaks. I mean, they're just out of their minds. I had no idea there were so many sick people in this country. And it took the election of Obama to bring them out. And God, are they out. It's just like a herd of rabid rhinoceroses just running around, puncturing anything they can get their goddamn horns into. I've never seen anything like this. Never. Brr. We'll be back.
Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Quick email here from Miss Gigi regarding this freak from Arizona, Trent Frank, who is now identifying the President of the United States as being a threat to humanity. What was it? What did I do with it, Kathy? Where is it? Here it is. Let me see, because I want to get this right. What do you call him? A threat to humanity? Where is it? Oh, here it is. Enemy of humanity. An enemy. Trent Frank, Republican of Arizona. Miss Gigi writes, oh my God, didn't Bush Cheney spend trillions to send people over to bomb unborn babies? Remember Baghdad? Yeah, the current president of the United States is an enemy of humanity. He's human and wants to do for his fellow man. But the problem is he wants to start in his own front yard. I'm sure sometime in the very near future, Beck will air that clip on his show and his minion will start spouting, he's a Muslim and an enemy to humanity. Yeah, thanks, Miss Gigi. Yeah, anytime you point that stuff out to people, though, you might as well speak in, you know, Farsi to somebody from South Carolina or Urdu to somebody from wherever these freaks reside. I don't know. So over at this garbage pit called Newsmax, Media Matters snagged something that is very reminiscent to a book I read a long time ago and then saw the movie. It was 7 days in May. And I think the author was Fletcher Nebel. Is that right? K-N-E-B-E-L or something. I was very young when I both saw the movie, but before that read the book. And 7 days in May, of course, is about an attempted military coup against the President of the United States. It doesn't work, but it almost does. It's a very scary movie. So this is the title of this piece of tripe, Obama Risks a Domestic Military, quote, intervention, end quote. And whoever this Perry character is, he writes, there is a remote, although gaining, possibility America's military will intervene as a last resort to resolve the, quote, Obama problem, end quote. Don't dismiss it as unrealistic. America isn't the third world. If a military coup does occur here, it will be civilized. That it has never happened doesn't mean it won't. Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it. Oh, you little cowardly son of a bitch. See, right away, these people identify themselves as spineless, yellow-bellied cowards.
Describing what may be afoot is not to advocate it. Not me.
So view the following, this piece of waste writes, through military eyes. Yeah. Officers swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Unlike enlisted personnel, they do not swear to obey the orders of the President of the United States. Top military officers can see the Constitution they are sworn to defend being trampled as American institutions and enterprises are nationalized. Name one, you goddamn freak, other than the military. Name one! American institutions and enterprise are nationalized. Name one, Perry. The Postal Service? The officers, can see that Americans are increasingly alarmed that this action under President Barack Obama may not even be recognizable as America by the 2012 election, in which he will surely seek continuation in office. They can see that the economy ravaged by deficits, taxes, unemployment, and impending inflation. Who did that? Christ. The economy is financially reliant on foreign lender governments. Who did that, you bastard? Perry. They can see this president waging undeclared war on the intelligence community. No, it's not undeclared war, you half-wit freak. It's called justice. It's called the rule of law. Without whose rigorous and independent functions, the armed services are rendered blind in an ever more hostile world overseas and at home. And at home? They can see the dismantling of defenses against missiles targeted at this nation by avowed enemies. Name one. Even as America's troop strength is allowed to sag. Since when? Everything I've read says that the military is fulfilling their quotas plus. Because of the Bushy... They can see the horror of major warfare erupting simultaneously in two and possibly three far-flung theaters before America can react in time. What? Before we can react in time? They can see the nation's safety and their own military establishments and honor placed in jeopardy as never before. How so? How is it being placed in jeopardy? So, if you are one of those observant military professionals, what do? Wait until this president bungles into losing the war in Afghanistan? And Pakistan's arsenal of nuclear bombs falls into the hands of militant Islam? Wait until Israel is forced to launch airstrikes on Iran's nuclear bomb plants and the Middle East explodes, destabilizing or subjugating the free world? What? Israel launches airstrikes, and that subjugates the free world. This guy is a sick son of a bitch. I mean, he really is. Everybody who writes at the Garbage Pit Newsmax is a sick son of a bitch, but this guy is sick squared. What happens if the generals Obama sent to win the Afghan war are told by this president, who now says, I'm not interested in victory? Really? That they would be denied troops they must have to win. Do they follow orders they cannot carry out, consistent with their oath of duty? Do they resign en masse? Ooh, is that French? Or do they soldier on, hoping the 2010 congressional elections will reverse the situation? Do they dare gamble the national survival on such political whims? Anyone who imagines that those thoughts are not weighing heavily on the intellect and conscience of America's military leadership is lost in a fool's fog. Sounds like a Moody Blues song. Lost in a fool's fog. Will the day come when patriotic general and flag officers... Oh, what's the difference? Sit down with the president or with those who control him. That would be people on your side, you dumbass. And work out the national equivalent of a family intervention with some form of limited shared responsibility. Imagine a bloodless coup to restore and defend the Constitution through an interim administration that would do the serious business of governing and defending the nation. Skilled, military-trained nation builders would replace accountability-challenged radical left commissars. Oh my goddamn, goddamn God. Having bonded with his twin teleprompters, the president would be detailed for ceremonial speech-making. This guy needs to be arrested immediately. Military intervention is what Obama's exponentially accelerating agenda? Woo! Military intervention is what Obama's exponentially accelerating agenda for fundamental change toward a Marxist state is inviting upon America. A Marxist state? You crazy son of a bitch. A coup is not an ideal option, but Obama's radical ideal is not acceptable or reversible. What radical ideal? Oh, my God. Unthinkable, then. Think up an alternative, nonviolent solution to the Obama problem. Just don't shrug and say, we can always worry about that later. In the 2008 election, that was the wistful, self-indulgent, indifferent reliance on abnegation of personal responsibility that has sunk the nation into this morass. Really? Oh, my God. It says John Perry, a prize-winning newspaper editor. Where? In Moldova? And writer who served on White House staffs of two presidents. Who? What was his job? Cleaning out the toilets? What did he do? Work in the pissoir? I can't stand this stuff. So this cowardly little rat bastard said, oh, not that I'm advocating it. Oh, not me. Oh, my God, not me. Just in case this column I'm writing here on Newsmax, the toilet bowl of the internet, is read by the, CIA. Not me. I'm not advocating anything. I'm just a cowardly right-winger, as usual. This is not going to stop until these people are removed from our political system. Don't you think? And this guy's in the political system because he is advocating the overthrow of the government. He's advocating a military coup. I don't give a goddamn what his qualifying phrase was. He's advocating a military takeover of the United States. Why is he not arrested now? Or is it because the authorities realize he is a writer at Newsmax and therefore a nut and his gibberings don't mean anything? I think it's probably that.
Is the outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Do you think we focus too much on these pigs, these right-wing pigs? They can't be that large a percentage of the population. I don't know. I read this stuff. Somebody sends me, I never look for this stuff. Somebody will send me a link which I appreciate, you know, and I'll take a look at some of this stuff. Just like that soundbite from that Trent, whatever his name is, that Republican from Arizona talking about Barack Obama's an enemy of humanity. Jesus Christ almighty. I mean, can you get any more treasonous than that? And now this freak over at the toilet website talking about, a military coup? Oh, man. It just makes me dizzy. Not all the, not everybody feels that way. At Politico.com, Josh Gerstein writes that about a dozen retired generals and admirals trying to add momentum to Obama's efforts to close Guantanamo Bay military prison. These generals, about a dozen generals and admirals, are accusing former Vice President Dick Cheney and his freakish daughter Liz of scaremongering about the dangers of closing it. Retired Brigadier General James Cullen, a former chief judge of the Army's Court of Criminal Appeals, told Politico today, quote, "It's up to all of us to say these arguments advanced by Cheney and his acolytes are nonsense, and that really what they're doing is undermining our national security." Well, if they're doing that, isn't that, is that treason? Is that a chargeable offense? Retired General David Mattox, a former Army Commander-in-Chief for Europe, said, quote, "Some of the fear issues that are being raised in this are really unfortunate. It gets people excited about things they shouldn't be excited about and impedes doing what is critical for this country. We take a setback every time somebody, whether it's a vice president or his daughters or daughter, comes out and says the things that they say." End quote. The former vice president and his daughter declined comment on the criticism. The all these former military officers who's argued, I should say, rather bitterly that the Cheneys have exaggerated the risks of bringing Guantanamo prisoners from Cuba to the United States. General Mattox said, quote, "Can you imagine getting a terrorist from Guantanamo convicted and put in a federal penitentiary in your town? Have you ever checked who the hell's in there already? Have any of them gotten out? The person who we, the person who we're putting in is probably a heck of a lot less dangerous than most of them who are already in there," end quote. Retired Major General Tony Taguba, who investigated the Abu Ghraib prison scandal in Iraq, said the president was smart to set a deadline to close the torture facility. Taguba said, "It forces us to have an end state. It cannot be open in perpetuity because we're having this so-called long war, so-called long war against terrorism," end quote. And these retired officers, generals and admirals, met yesterday with Attorney General Eric Holder. Holder gave no indication of when the administration might settle on a U.S. site to relocate Guantanamo prisoners, the former military leaders said, et cetera, et cetera. It's just too bizarre for words, isn't it? You know, you got to hate these right-wingers across the spectrum, whether they're political or religious or societal, whatever they are, and their spokes turds that infest radio and television. You got to hate them if you believe in justice. I almost said if you're a patriotic American. I don't even think that's the right term. If you believe in justice, if you believe in honor, because these people are without honor. The only justice they know is the justice that comes from dictatorial powers by somebody on the right. If you appreciate justice, if you respect honor, if you value freedom, you've got to hate these people down at the bottom of your guts. And that's it. You know, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to walk around hating. I was taught all kinds of false hatred as a kid growing up. Everything from the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming, to what else was I taught to hate? Ethnic groups, racial groups, my society, my parents. Well, not my mother so much, but I was taught to hate blacks, hate Jews, hate commies, hate the Soviet Union. Who else was I taught to hate? Surely to God, there's more than that. And it takes a lifetime. As any of you who had a similar upbringing, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we taught the same thing, as most Americans were. Be suspicious of immigrants, even though my grandfather was an immigrant. I don't know where that came from, but I guess only immigrants that spoke Spanish. Yeah, even back then. I don't think my grandfather ever became completely articulate in English. English was always his second language. But if you believe in dignity, honor, justice, freedom, truth, you've got to hate these people. And hate is such a poisonous, acidy state of mind, isn't it? I've been told hate does more damage to the vessel in which it's carried than it does to the object on which it's poured. I used to believe that. I don't know anymore. I don't know anything. Not that I ever did, but I certainly don't know anything anymore. It's just all mush. All right, we'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. It is about 7 past the hour. Regarding what this freak wrote over at the toilet website at Newsmax about a potential military takeover, Roberts writes, well, they did try it before. Remember, Prescott Bush and the industrial fascists of the 30s tried to enlist General Smedley Butler of the Marine Corps to lead a coup against Roosevelt. Those guys loved Adolf Hitler, and Roosevelt tap danced with impeachment for years, trying to shore up the Brits against the advances of fascist Nazis taking Europe. Trouble was, our own corporatists were raking in money, selling to that funny little Adolf guy, and they thought he was the best thing since opium dens. Go figure. Yeah, and General Smedley Butler, of course, the two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner who wrote War is a Racket, immediately went to Roosevelt and said, guess what? Jesus God. And this from GR in Colorado, who writes, don't you wonder who's running the show up there in D.C.? If there was anything I was on board for with Obama, it was universal government health care. Maybe if the blanks in Congress were in my shoes, a disabled motorcycle racer with a fractured vertebrae, 4 blown discs, bad knees, and about $1,000 a month in medication bills alone, not to mention doctors. Oh, yes. Bring that health care program. I'll happily pay copays. But no. We now know who runs things, don't we? Insurance industry hacks and lobbyists. Don't you love those people protesting government health care as an attempt to overthrow the Constitution? And declare martial law? Let's be clear. Our government actually tries to do something universally good for everyone, equal under the law, and completely right in every way, and the people damn near revolt en masse. A few asshats on TV and radio declare it a march to fascism and communism. two great tastes that never go together. And the dumb blanks go ballistic. No, we don't want free medical care. We like getting effed by the insurance industry. Never mind that every doctor I see is overjoyed that I pay cash on delivery because they hate the insurance companies. No, no, let's keep paying way inflated rates and being turned down. Not by government bureaucrats, no, by insurance company accountants who don't want to pay out for anything. Mike, they've all lost their minds. They're all corrupted. Even this Obama has no blanks in the face of the fifth largest economic power on earth, the insurance industry. Without a public option, it's a moot point. What we'll get is the health care equivalent of no-fault car insurance, which is to say just a federal law mandating that every breathing soul in the country pay the bastards thousands a year each, a legislated windfall for insurance corporations. Good holy God, Mike. There's a reason I live on a hill in the middle of nowhere. It's not because I'm a gun-toting right-winger. I'm not. I'm an artist, a musician, and a registered Democrat, a very heavily armed Democrat. But a Democrat nonetheless. Face it, the Republic is lost. GR in Colorado. I get a lot of emails like that, and I'm not sure. Like I said, I have no idea how to react any longer. Do you? I mean, be serious. Do you know how to handle all this? Like I said, there is the option of just ignoring it and taking the point of view that these right wingers are a very small piece of refuse in this society that is admittedly wounded, injured. We are, thanks to George W. Bush, thanks to the destruction the son of a bitch brought to this republic. And Bush destroyed everything. Everything. Ronald Brownstein has a piece at The Atlantic Online entitled Closing the Book on the Bush Legacy. You ought to read it. The Atlantic Online. Closing the Book on the Bush Legacy. It's too lengthy to bring up on the program, but it lays out in very clear detail how Bush destroyed the country, which was the goal. That was the goal starting back with Reagan. To run the country so deeply in debt. Remember what Bush was given, George W. was given. He was given a surplus in the budget. Can you believe that? And budget surpluses as far into the future as the eye could see if everything just would have been left alone. The little pissant didn't have to do anything. All he had to do is keep his filthy hands off. But Cheney and the corporatists got the little twerp aside and told him what to do, and he did it, and here we are. Here we are. And then these swine have the audacity to blame anything on Barack Obama, who is more conservative in the truest sense of the word than any of these vermin. You know, Newsmax, the toilet of the web, they're not conservative. They're crazy. They're just goddamn lunatics. Steve, who calls the program a lot, Steve the banker. He went to MikeMulley.com and clicked on that link I have there and saw the 10-minute video from Pittsburgh. One little slice of the militarization of the police force in Pittsburgh attacking young people. Steve the banker writes, "Hello, Mike. Well, when I was sitting in a classroom in 1974 at the University of Miami, an English professor asked, is it possible that Nazism could grow inside America until it became the dominant political system? Most of the 50 or so students said no, but one other kid and me raised our hands and said yes. And now I saw it in Pittsburgh. Sickening attack by the city of Pittsburgh on the Constitution. Scare tactics, huge anti-human vehicles meant to protect troops from tanks and large anti-personnel weapons. It's sickening. It's a lesson straight out of the Chicago riots. The whole world is watching. as the Chicago police went into riot mode and bloodied kids and innocent civilians, Nazi style. I can't believe the nation is this stupid. Power is being used by the government where none is given or authorized. And our country, Mike, authorized. It's sick, and it's time for citizens to relearn their Constitution. It's time to protect the Constitution and our country. Mike, it has happened many times in our own country. It will happen again now. U.S. troops, contractors, brown shirts, thugs will protect the establishment, whatever makes up the establishment, and will kill and hurt and violently break resistance to it. It's the most un-American event I've seen since Kent State. Well, what do you think? Kathy, why don't you open up the phones? I'm curious what you think about, and seriously, if you can, for this segment, just stay on that topic. What you think is the possibility of some real serious stuff going down in this country, occurring in this country. I hate that expression, going down. Hey, man, I took him down. I had to take him down. You know, that cop. Military, pseudo-military jargon that the cowards, the chicken hawks, have all adopted. What's going down in the country? You know, it was a hip-hop expression to begin with, and then the white crazy people grabbed it. So anyway, the number here is 877-996-2556. 877-996-2556. So I'd like to hear what you got to say. We'll take a break and come back and chat for a while. I'm Mike Malloy.
From the left, it's More Mike Malloy.
This portion of the Mike Malloy program is brought to you by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalone.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. Alone. 21 past the hour. To the phones, Nora is in Minneapolis listening online. Hey, Nora.
I'm listening on KTNF,
Voice
of Minnesota.
Oh, great. Well, glad to hear it.
I did get a computer today for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
And I'll be entering Online World.
All right.
But I'm calling because I'm feeling this really horrendous feeling because these people around me, it seems like a lot of them going crazy and losing their minds, and I'm feeling very similar to how I did on September 10th. 2001, when I was in the back of the Seward Cafe with my friend Susan, pounding the table, telling her, "They're coming down, Susan, mark my words, they're coming down." And, you know, I didn't mean specifically some buildings. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But the next morning, she called me and said, "Nora, did you see what happened in the Pentagon?" I was thrilled when I heard it happened to the Pentagon, because they're part of what I was mad as hell about. But right now, it's specifically one thing that's getting on my last nerve, and this is, I mean, last. They're complaining about deficit spending, yet they sit there and arrest people that carry around medicine herbs, taking them to court. Minnesota Mike, he's known as by the Rainbow family as Minnesota Mike. He's known by the Indians as hippie mic, and they got him holding up here to, you know what I'm saying,
sure,
about marijuana laws.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Nora, you're not alone. There's an awful lot of people who can't take it anymore, and that's the part that makes me a little bit nervous, because eventually there's going to be a reaction from normal people. We've allowed the crazies to dominate the conversation and the airwaves and screwing with the policies put forth by a slightly right center government of Barack Obama. And at some point, normal people are going to say, okay, that's enough. And when that occurs, it should get very weird in this country. Nemo is in Syracuse, New York, listening on Sirius.
How are you, Mike?
I'm okay. How are you?
Terrific. I was going to respond about what you're saying, the coming change, as I like to tell everyone in America.
Yeah?
I think you're dead right. It's inevitable. Our whole system has been built on a fraud for so long, the way that our financial system works. We've been doomed to fail for a very long time. And, you know, look at the amount of debt that's being put on the taxpayers. We can never pay this back. People are going broke left and right. You know, you and I have talked before. I'm a small businessman, disabled vet. And we have everything we can do in our local area to keep businesses here, but that is just not, you know, occurring. The stimulus has not helped us. Unemployment is not going down. And I heard an interesting statistic that you would appreciate. One of the things that's not counted in unemployment is the increase of senior citizens that have retired from their jobs or been forced to retire and are now on Social Security.
Yeah, we just talked about that last night.
Okay, sorry.
But no, that's okay. That's okay, because it's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up again, because that is a number of people that are being forced to retire when they really can't, being forced onto Social Security when, you know, you take Social Security, depending on your age cohort, if you take it before the maximum, you know, before you're designated, you take a hell of a hit. And the people that are being required to do this at age 62 or 63 or 64 because they're no longer, they can't find a job. Not only does it put an unnecessary strain on Social Security, but it doesn't give people income. Social Security was just an insurance policy to begin with. It was never meant to be a substitute for income.
Correct. And the biggest thing that I see that we could, I don't know if we could stop it, but we could certainly curtail some of the potential violence. If all of us common folks realize that, you know what, your average conservative, their values at core aren't much different than yours and mine. They're led to believe something because of the team mentality that our politics is. Oh, the Democrats win, now the Republicans win. But you know what, the average American still loses.
Well, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. And we have a break coming here. Nemo, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. I don't know that I agree with there's not a difference in the core values of Democrats and Republicans. I don't think that. Well, that doesn't work for me, Nemo. I mean, if you believe it, you know, okay, that's cool. But I can't, you know, I just don't accept that. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
They have no right to wield that sword, 'cause they take their orders from the chairman of the board.
is your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Len is in New York, listening online. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
And I don't get the chance, because of my hours, to listen to you as much as I used to.
Well, you can always download the podcast.
I still need the hours.
It's only 25 cents a show, Len.
Oh, really? That's all?
Yeah, $59.60 a year.
I can take a year of thinking about all the crap.
Okay, then $7.95 a month. Go to MikeMalloy.com. It's all there. Come on, Len, support the program. But that's not why you called.
Sounds good. No, I guess I called. I was listening to the news today. Oh, boy. And, you know, just my illustrious Senator Chuck Schumer was actually on the right side of a position for a change.
Oh, yeah?
You know, he was pushing for that public option, which seemed like the last best hope for us to try and get our lives straightened back. You know, it wasn't such a great opportunity at that. But there was so much going on, I guess I wanted to hear somebody else rant for a change instead of listening to the rant in my head going around and around and around.
Yeah, it's spooky. I mean, it is just spooky. I don't know what to make of all this. I really don't. I hate to say it. Well, no, I don't have to say it at all. I'm lost.
You know, it's beyond our shores in every respect. You know, as you remember, I belong to the Orthodox Jewish community here.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I'm hearing, you know, I mean, I'm placing a very high likelihood that there's going to be an attack against Iran sooner than later, based primarily on the fact that, two things. One of the things I hear by visiting dignitaries or generals from Israel, but
right.
Also, you know, hearing last week when Obama didn't give them months, but rather weeks, you know, sort of to come clean.
Well, the pivotal event, I guess, to me was what we reported last night, and I forget what the news source was. I think it was the British press that the head of MI5 has met with the head of the Mossad, and they exchanged information that the Saudi government has given Israel permission. I guess that regards airspace to bomb this newly talked about. It's according to what I've read, the Russians, the French. I'm sorry, the Russians, the British, and the U.S. intelligence agencies knew about this site for the past 3 years. But now that it's been made public, and Ahmadinejad refuses to. Bring that under the IAEA auspices or investigations or not investigations, but inspections. Now the talk is that the Saudis, of course, the Saudis are Sunni and the Iranians are Shia. So there's that. The Saudis couldn't care less. But it's odd to me. I realize there is some sort of an accommodation. I wouldn't say an alliance, but an accommodation between Saudi Arabia and the, Netanyahu government. So that to me was the. I'm surprised that it hasn't happened today.
Well, I was giving it plus or minus 2 weeks from around Thanksgiving. So because they do have to give them the opportunity to actually come clean. And
well, hasn't that occurred?
Well, no, they. To actually open it up for inspections, I mean.
Oh, you know, I see.
From the time they sit down. And, you know, so they're going to have to give them a little time. And that's the difference between Obama primarily and McCain. You know, McCain would have said, what the heck, let's just Obama them. And Obama's going to say, well, at least let's do this in a progressive way of, you know, giving them ultimatums first.
Right.
But
so what happens, Len, in your opinion, if such an attack And it would have to be massive because these facilities, I understand, are buried under hundreds of feet of rock. You know, just dropping bunker busters is not really, I don't think, going to work insofar as destroying the facilities. So, therefore, it'll be seen as an unlawful attack on, by one state on another, in violation of just about every, our attack on Iraq more or less opened it up so anybody can attack anybody these days. But what do you think is going to happen if that does occur?
Well, let me just start with a quick progression that, you know, Afghanistan, I thought, needed more troops 8 years ago to clean up. But we screwed it up entirely, and now it looks like Tariq Ali is right. And the best thing to do is just keep our fingers out of there as much as possible. So we don't need the troops there. But we've got a ton of troops in Iraq right now, which would be susceptible to attack unless, of course, they were completely prepared for the event. In which, when you say wouldn't do it, you could, I believe, bomb that place well enough to turn it into a tomb that no one would want to try and excavate to restart what might be there. And, you know, one general I heard said, look, you know, the biggest concern, you know, is terrorism, and we've lived with terrorism. I mean, we may see a terrorism that we've never seen before in response.
In this country.
In this country.
Right.
Because, you know, just in the last couple of weeks, they discovered the sleeper cells.
Right.
But Israel has a different, you know, has a different, and Saudi Arabia rightly is concerned about the Shiites trying to, you know, to take over the area, you know, because if you just look at what they've done, they've completely funded Hezbollah in Lebanon so that they can keep up a war there. And they've completely funded, you know, and exported arms to Hamas in the Gaza so they can keep up a war there. And they're intent on just keeping up a war. And, you know, one thing I heard recently was, you know, and since I don't speak Farsi, I can't prove one way or the other. But, mm-hmm. You know, there was the Zakaria. Zakaria, you know, was quoting something apparently about, you know, there being a fatwa that said that, well, they shouldn't used, nuclear weapons should not be used at all ever, you know. Mm-hmm. But apparently Iran has a website which lists all that their fatwas, and that's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, we know how crazy these, you know, a couple of them are. I mean, it doesn't take a lot. I think it's a country of 70 million people, Iran, and I think probably 40 million of them know how crazy their leadership is, too. At least half, more than half. It's sort of like here where we knew that Bush was out of his mind, you know, but we couldn't do anything about it.
And I think the difference is in Iran, there are people, and I understand the numbers are increasing again, people taking to the streets. They don't want to be bombed. They don't want to go into a state of war. They want to join the 21st century. They just want to live their lives. Like so many of these countries, I've seen pictorial displays of Iran. It's a gorgeous country. So during Bush, nobody got in the street. Nobody. But in Iran, people are protesting. And what a horror if Israel or United States or anybody attacks the country when there is this strong movement within the country. I'm not saying that movement is necessarily friendly, overly friendly to the United States, but at least it is against the government of Ahmadinejad, and it seems to me that's what we should be doing, is supporting that.
You're 100% right, but there is one ultimate issue, and that's the element of time. And, you know, as Netanyahu said in front of the United Nations, you know, if not now, when? So they're talking about serious sanctions very soon, but they don't know what Iran's response is going to be to those. And, you know, they're scared. The average Israeli is scared as hell because they don't presume that Iran would withhold any threat whatsoever that they actually had at their disposal.
Well, there have been madmen in leadership positions in the past. We've experienced that, where a sovereign country is doesn't mean anything. It's attacked at the whim of the leadership. So it's probably something Israelis, it's probably a legitimate fear. Just like the Iraqis had a legitimate fear of the United States, the Georgians had a legitimate fear of Russia. So here we are. Hey, I gotta leave you there, Len.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Don't be a stranger.
Sure. Be well.
All right. Take care. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And bad mistakes.
The voice inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Tom in Joshua Tree, California writes on the hatred within is the subject line. He writes, "Hi Mike, I along with anyone with a conscience have had to deal with the same issue of hatred for all the damage these bastards and their politically non-voting apathetic allies have caused our country and the world. For example, I hate and despise liberal apathetics more than I do the ignorantly vicious Republicans, because the liberal non-voter takes all the best from the progressive left, its culture, its values, its opportunities, and then on voting day stabs us in the back, throws us down the stairwell, and kisses the Republicans' asses. But how to live with this is what is at stake. For us to dissolve into our hatred of these non-people who infest our democracy with their totalitarian greed and violence would be their victory over us, is what they're counting on. They cannot destroy the thoughts and insights that propel us, but they can overwhelm us with their disease and have us croak on our own hatred and anger toward them. And to this, a little Buddhist psychology is most apt. They, the sages, say that the difference between an enlightened and justifiably outraged person of conscience and the idiots they must live among is that the idiots hate people and by extension themselves, whereas the insightful hate and despise the delusional formations that make these idiots the idiots they are. In other words, it's reasonable and wholesome to spit out the garbage that makes idiots, but dangerous, harmful to oneself and others to spit out the actual idiots themselves. Hope that helps. It's really all we've got, and it takes a damn lifetime to figure out. Tom and Joshua Tree. The sages say the difference between an enlightened... You know what that sounds like, Tom? It sounds like hate the sin, love the sinner. It really does. I'm the most unenlightened being that you'll ever send an email to. And I admit that. And I wish it were not so. I wish that I had attained at least a crack in the door so I could see that enlightenment was on the other side. But, you know, I tried. I really did. I made an effort back in the 70s and the 80s. I went to Naropa. Out in Boulder. I did this, I did that. I spent time trying to unlock the three doors. And it, you know, almost worked, I guess. But I just fell back into it. Somebody said to me, "That's because you're not an old soul. You have a lot of lives to live," to which I said, "You're out of your goddamn mind. Get away from me with that. A lot of lives to live. bat squeeze. You do it now or you don't do it. And Tom, as much as I wish I could say, you know, I'm on the path to enlightenment, apparently I'm not. I just can't, I can't do that. I can't hate the sin and love the sinner. I just can't do it. It's like being just restricted. It's like being cornered. You know, it's like sitting there at the table and you're playing poker and somehow you know this. You look at your hand and you've got a full house. You think, son of a bitch, look at this. But you also know the other two people still in the pot both have four of a kind. And you're sitting there with this incredible hand, full house, but you're going to lose. You're just going to lose anyway. Huh? I don't know. I don't know why I came up with that. But that's what it feels like for me sometimes. I don't know how many other people it feels like that. But, you know, enlightenment is wonderful. God, I wish I could rise above this. You know, breathe. Just let it flow. In, out, gone. Take notice. Let it pass. I told Kathy the other day, I could do this. I could do that. I could get back on the path to enlightenment. But it means getting off this path. This path being this radio gig. That's what it would take for me. I mean, I know my own limitations. I know what I'm capable of. And that comes from a lifetime of figuring it out. But as long as I do this, and I would stop doing this tomorrow if it weren't for the fact that I have to work. As long as I have to work, why not do this? You know, which is bound to eventually cause me to have a massive cranial aneurysm. No, it won't. It really won't. But I just, you know, again, I remember the character in the Heart of Darkness, or the way I saw it in Apocalypse Now, you know, the Colonel Kurtz. And, you know, in his madness from, not that I'm comparing myself with anything even remotely resembling that, but I could certainly relate, okay, you know, to that line of, you know, to just drop the bombs. Kill all of them. Just kill them all. Destroy everything. And, of course, he was talking about not Vietnam. He was talking about darkest Africa. But in the movie, of course, in Apocalypse Now, he's talking about that particular part of Cambodia, Vietnam, the madness. Yeah. You know, that's where it gets weird. I just wonder at what point you cross that line. If you stay dedicated to the idea that things are being run or at least managed or at least influenced by really crazy people. I mean, just total lunatics who are fascist at heart. Who only have one or two issues, and those are social issues that should be decided in conversations in a bar. But those are the only two or three issues they have, and they're willing to blow up the entire country because they can't get their way on those issues. I don't know. It is it's craziness. If you're on hold or you're on the line, on hold, stick around. We'll be back and take your call. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program. Tomorrow night, I hope you're going to join me if you live in the San Francisco, Oakland area. I'll be at Yoshi's tomorrow night. I think the doors open around 6, 6:30. All kinds of fun and frivolity. Come on by. If you haven't got a ticket yet, go to green960.com. I think there are tens and tens of tickets left. So hope to see you there. All right. Bruce writes, the regarding the Saudis and the Russians and the Iranians and the Israelis, Bruce writes, the Saudis have offered the Russians a $7 billion military hardware order if the Russians will halt delivery of state-of-the-art anti-aircraft missile systems that Iran bought several years ago for about $1 billion. It's not likely Russia would break the deal unless President Obama has been able to convince them, the Russians, that Iran is toast. You getting nervous? God. Yeah, me too. Stephen is in Burbank, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Mike. Hello. You asked, what do we think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what I see. I see empire in turmoil. I see corruption at the top where the murderers, the liars, and the thieves are walking around in public just as free as birds, you know, like there's nothing going on and nobody does anything about it. They just shrug it off like, oh, it's, that doesn't affect me. It's you know, that affects me like a banana peel in the gutter. And they just don't get it. And sometimes, Mike, even the bad guys will say things that are true, as much as we hate to admit it. The Syed Qutb came up with the word called Jahiliya, and the interpretation is ignorant barbarians don't know that they're sick. And we have that happening here with these people because, unfortunately, human beings are just malleable. We're willing to believe anything we're told, no matter what our eyes tell us, no matter what we see and how we see it.
Yeah. Are you gonna believe me or your lying eyes?
I believe you, Mike. Yeah. But I like Tom's email, you know, because he mentioned old soul. I've been accused of being an old soul, and to me it's just more hokum. You know, I can't buy into that kind of noise. And even though I'm an atheist, I'll have to say that the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. And the reason we have hatred is because we are evolved to have emotions to help us survive in a hostile environment. And when you see that somebody's trying to do harm, you know, just for no reason at all except they enjoy it, how can you have any other kind of emotion? Emotions are what help us survive. And then you have the other paradigm, thinking versus feeling, you know. Well, I think I'll hold off on doing this action right now, and I think that my emotions won't let get the best of me, but when the time is right, we can have Schadenfreude and good things like that. And another thing happening with this is, Pandora's box was opened long before the beginning of recorded history. And there's always hope, and we keep our cool. We think about it. We keep our cool and not get too excited, and just let her rip.
Well, thanks, Stephen. I tend to agree with what you're saying. I really do. And I've said before on this program. I don't know. I thought I did recently, but I'll say it again. I still have hope. I don't know what it is I'm hoping for, except just justice. That's all. And by justice, I mean balance. The balancing out of action, action and reaction. The balancing out of good. Although I have a hard time believing the concepts of good and evil, but you understand what I'm saying. Just justice. There's no point getting wordy about it here. I'm just talking myself into a corner. I still have hope for justice. Justice is an all-encompassing word. And you can mean whatever, actually, whatever you want it to mean. It is very relative. It is not an absolute. It's an abstract. It's, you know, the American figure of justice, or the one we've adopted anyway, is the woman holding the scales, and she's blindfolded so as not to influence, which really, when you get to it, is a pretty Buddhist concept, too. But I don't, you know, I'm not out of hope at all. And I doubt if a lot of people who listen to this program are out of hope. If you were, you wouldn't be here, you know, and listening to this program. You'd say to hell with it. And I don't know. And again, like most people, I believe that denial is more than a river in Africa. Denial is a very good defense mechanism. It's one that I use all the time. I convince myself during the day, before I sit down and start, you know, looking at what's out there for that evening's program, I convince myself during the day that, hey, listen, everything's going to be okay. You know, that's what my mother used to say. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Isn't that a mom thing? Everything's going to be okay. One thing about the people listening to this program, everybody, every one of us had a mom. Some of them may have been a wacko, but, you know, your mom, if mom did her job, and sometimes dad, but mostly mom, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. So, you know, I've got that ricocheting around inside my head. Maybe you do, too. It's only when the day gets on and I start to take a look at, you know, I make that fatal error every day of turning on CNN to see what's what's being reported. Not what's news, because CNN doesn't cover the news. They report things. And speculate on things and yada yada. So, you know, that first moment, usually around 2:30 in the afternoon, and, you know, I flip on CNN and it's just like, oh God. So it's not that the hope is displaced by some horrible negative feeling. It's just that the hope retreats then, you know, and I get ready for that night's program, right? You understand what I'm talking about, don't you, Truth Seeker? Sure you do. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Dave is in Rantoul, Illinois. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Drinking a little coffee, listening to XM, and putting miles in my car, listening to the Mike Molloy Show.
Oh, there you go. Life is good, huh?
a couple of random thoughts. That Newsmax article.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It just reminds me that there's no level to which these people won't stoop, and to basically trying to go out and foment a military insurrection against our government is just...
It's crazy. Where were they when that might have been a good idea during the Bush years? This is the thing. I mean, I can't believe that these people, that I share a country, I share a language, I share sort of a culture with people who are so twisted, so degenerate that they would see that Barack Obama, what the hell is Barack Obama doing?
Barack Obama to me is essentially a moderate conservative.
Right. Just a little, yeah, kind of a centrist right. If this were Italy, if this were France, he would be considered center-right.
Oh, you ought to see me at family reunions. I'm the only one of two Democrats in the entire extended family, so it's a blast. But he's essentially a moderate conservative, and he's got a different skin color than me. What's the big deal here? I don't get these people.
I don't either. I don't either.
I think when we find out who the person or persons who murdered that census worker in Kentucky, I think we're going to discover also that they're a Glenn Beck follower. I'm pretty sure of that.
Oh, I don't. Yeah,
I
don't.
Some money on that one, Mike.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt. Just like the guy that shot the physician, Dr. Tiller, it was an O'Reilly eater. You know, I mean, they're all sick. Dave, thanks, man. I got a break here. I appreciate it. Drive safely. Enjoy your coffee. We'll talk again. We'll be right back.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
Okay. It's 21 past the hour. John is in Somerset, Kentucky, listening on XM. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure.
I just want to make a quick comment about the Bill Spartman who was murdered in Clay County, Kentucky.
Yes.
I am friends with several of the troopers out of London Post, which is investigating this right now. From my sources, it has been ruled as a homicide.
Right.
They are toying with the idea of hate crime. And this is what I want to run by you, see if this is possible or not. Michelle Bachman, I feel, is responsible for, it's like I told Kathy when she was screening the call, she's the one that got on Fox News with the assistance of Beck and
right.
the roving pillmonger, Limbaugh,
mm-hmm.
that said the census is an effort by Obama and Democrats to undermine Republicans and stack it, you know, the Congress with Democrats only, and that this needs to be stopped. So, evidently, it's like Gabe from Illinois said, this was a Glenn Beck / Limbaugh / Hannity follower who took it upon him or herself or theirself to murder this man who is now, who leaves behind two beautiful little girls. This is getting back to the little hatred and bigotry that the right wing has for Barack Obama.
Yeah, it is. And they're inspiring people to do this. The man who went into the Holocaust Museum and opened fire was a right-wing radio listener, a follower of, well, he had books from all three of these monsters in his house, or two of them anyway. And the guy who went into the Unitarian Universalist Church and opened fire, same thing. The guy who murdered the physician who performed light-term abortions also... that guy was a follower of or a listener, certainly a listener. I call them followers. And Bachman is the newest in this this constellation of crazy people who inspire other crazy people to do to commit these murders. And it's yeah, there's no doubt in my mind either, John.
Well, I told Kathy earlier too that I actually called and I've already sent a letter to her to Miss Bachman. And I called her office and told her that I would not stop until everything in my power, you know, to bring her into this fold with the help of the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Kentucky to make sure that she serves time and, you know, do whatever I have to do to prove a point that this is getting to the point of it is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the people that live in that part of Kentucky, and unfortunately I do too, grew up in that area. It's the heartland of the GOP.
Right.
They're going to believe whatever they're spoon-fed. And evidently, case in point, the race war that, you know, back in Hannity and then want has officially started, but it was, you know, I guess you would say the wrong type of person. I guess somebody they've seen as a symbol of the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you calling, John, and I hope you'll stay in touch. Any effort to, this is just what I was talking about a minute ago, justice, any effort to bring about justice in this particular case, I think any effort to that end is to be applauded, certainly respected. So if you don't mind, stay in touch. Let us know what happens. John, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Hi. It's just a little bizarre. Little. You know, sometimes you really do just kind of have to pause and take a deep breath, right? Man. I still spend at least a couple of minutes a day when the political reality in this country does intrude, no matter, you know, what I'm trying to do to block it. And, you know, I'll pause for a moment. And I know a lot of you do the same thing and just think, you know, how did this happen? What has happened? Is this the natural outcome of destroying the economy, which is what Bush 1, Bill Clinton, and Bush 2 did? I'm talking about NAFTA and GATT and whatever these trade agreements, especially NAFTA, that utterly and absolutely destroyed two countries, United States and Mexico, just utterly destroyed them economically. I don't like to think that Clinton deliberately did this. I don't. I don't know. He's a very bright man. How could he have not realized what he was doing? The Bushes are dumbasses, just total freaks. But Clinton, and it was on Clinton's watch that it was finally ratified, if that's the right word, NAFTA. But the natural outcome of all this is just this horrendous decline. How in the hell do you maintain the financial structures necessary to a society while your money's worthless, you're involved in two, possibly three wars, and everything is collapsing? How do you do that, right? And out of that comes this racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia. We've seen this before. Portion of the Mike Malloy program is brought to you by It's Up to Us Alone, featuring Ed Asner. Go to usalone.com for information on where to hear the debut of this dramatic new radio play in your area. It's 25 before the hour. Back to your calls in just a second here. This is from Captain Mary regarding military takeover or revolution in the United States. She writes, Mike, back in 2003, I went into a convenience store and was screamed at by a man when I said I opposed non-elected Bush's overthrow of Iraq. He screamed at me all the way out the store. Since then, I've had several other encounters with irrational and verbally violent right-wingers, and a lifelong friend has succumbed to the propaganda on Fox News. It keeps getting worse, and we lefties and other normal Americans are beginning to respond in kind, which distresses me. I despise what the right-wing rhetoric and the corresponding legislation are doing, not only to American freedom, but to my personal outlook. I think that a violent uprising in the U.S. is likely within the next 2 to 20 years, depending. Why? Because the quality of our lives and our lives themselves are threatened. Several converging factors directly affect whether we'll live or die. One, the failure of senators and representatives to respond to the people. The officials are responding only to corporatists. This means death of the Constitution and of participatory government. Two, the militarization of police, as in Pittsburgh, and of health care, the military to assist in giving shots and quarantining, the Department of Defense says. Goodbye to justice and autonomy. Three, the Bush-induced economy. No jobs means no food, which means death. Four, no universal single-payer health care. No affordable care means death. Five, Monsanto's and factory farming's takeover of the food chain via genetically engineered so-called foods with little to no nutritional value, but that damage our bodies. More death. Five, or six, perpetual wars driven by the military corporatist complex. Death. There are other factors, of course. The common factor to all of them is greed is good, corporatists. All animals defend themselves when their lives or the lives of the young are threatened, and I think Americans will act to remove the corporatists. What I worry about on the way is that the right wing will also cause a race war in the U.S. Signed, Captain Mary, whose Buddhist tendencies are distinctly dwindling in Memphis. Thank you, Captain Mary. Paul is in Martinez, California. Hi, Paul.
Hi. I'm calling to weigh in on the old soul issue here.
Okay.
When you mentioned that, that sort of resonated with me.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of felt like that about myself before, like I'm an old soul.
Yeah, well, I understand. I don't believe it, but go ahead.
Well, all right. I mean, where that kind of comes from spiritually is I kind of have a hope for reincarnation, you know?
Yeah.
Get another chance at another life to kind of do the things right that you messed up in this life, you know, kind of take what you learned and
sure.
apply it to the next life kind of thing.
Sure. Wouldn't that be great?
Right. Like I say, I'm not saying I believe in it. I kind of hope for it. And I also have a feeling that I kind of know things that I have no business knowing. There's no reason I should know these things.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm fascinated.
Yeah, okay. That's all I wanted to say about that. I just want to say a couple of other things.
Yeah, okay.
One is to John from Kentucky, a shout-out and a good on you. And we hope to see you tomorrow night at Yoshi's.
Okay, I'll look forward to it. Right. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
All right, appreciate you checking in. Debbie. Debbie is in Brighton, Michigan. Hey, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Debbie?
Just fine. I've been listening to your show for maybe a month and a half now.
Well, thanks.
It's been interesting. It gives me something to do as I'm doing my homework.
Do you agree or disagree with what you hear?
You know, I'm an independent politically, and I went that way because I think both parties kind of have to straighten up a little bit before American people really get represented well. And so some of the things, yeah, I do agree with, and other things I'm kind of on the fence about or maybe have a little bit different slant, because we all have different slants according to what
sure.
our life experience is.
Absolutely.
But on the old soul, I'll say I was once told I was an old soul and I didn't have to come back, but I volunteered. And I wish I'd sat down and not done that, if that's the case. Because it sure has been an interesting life.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to mention on is when you're talking about a civil strife in the United States or, you know, that's a belief system within a certain religious community. And they teach that very much to their people. I know my son came back from my former husband's home, who belongs to that particular group. And he came back very concerned because this was the rhetoric that was being told to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he sat down and spoke with me, and he had mentioned how much when he was young, much younger growing up, that the type of talk frightened him a lot, that he would hear from this, you know, particular family member.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding some of the things that the American people are hearing, some of this coming from a particular belief system of a group. And as far as Glenn Beck, he is certainly ever bit a compromised person. I tend not to listen to really radical screaming people because they're not presenting things, I think, in a rational manner. But Glenn Beck, one of his biggest fascinations right now has been with Cleon Skousen. And I'm very familiar with the Skousen family,
mm-hmm.
in general, the greater Skousen family. But Cleon was recently outed, and he was outed by his own FBI file that was very recently released.
Yeah, it showed him to be a complete liar. Right.
Very boastful. So I think the positive thing that's happening in our country is as these individuals are exposed for being non-truthful, and he was done with complete liar, the Hoover didn't like his work, feeling it was very compromising and didn't help real investigations into a Russian or communist threat.
Right.
So I think as people, if they begin to, you know, learn this type of information, that the individuals they have been following have been less than forthright.
Well, I see where you're going with that, Debbie, and I hope it's true. But you know what the problem with it is? To the true believer, whether the true believer is a religious fanatic or a political fanatic. The political fanatic will just reject no matter what's made available in terms of house of lies that some of these people build their careers on. The religious fanatic will say, well, no, that's not true. That's just Satan trying to, bring scales over your eyes or whatever the saying is. Actually, what's his name? Glenn Beck's mentor really was everything he claimed to be, but Satan got into those files and changed everything. So it's like, and Debbie, thanks. It's like almost impossible and this is why I don't even attempt to have a rational discussion with a religious fanatic or a right-wing political fanatic. You might as well try to push a string or strike a match on a wet cake of soap. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I realize that engagement sometimes can result in some kind of understanding, but there has to be a mind on the other side that you're trying to engage with. And when the mind has been taken out, call it a mindectomy, by either this fundamentalist religious crap or the political madness of a Glenn Beck and his minions, when the mind has been removed, and what's left in there is just a massive jelly that can be implanted with anything, any thought, any idea, no matter how obscene or irrational or insane. That's when I flee. I mean, I don't want anything to do with that kind of madness. It's toxic. It's infectious. You can spread it. Jesus, look at what talk radio has done to this country. I mean, look at it. And I'm not talking about this little program. You know what I'm talking about. Look what it's done. There is so much willful ignorance out here, but there's also so much just pumped in insanity and trying to remove that, to get that out of people's consciousness so they can think clearly, is an impossible task. I consider it impossible. As far as old souls and that kind of stuff, I remember back in the day when, the New Age stuff really broke in this country in the 70s and 80s. That was just, as a way to talk yourself into getting laid, really. That's about all it was. Hey, I'm an old soul. Really? Yeah. You want to sit down and talk about it? Better if we talk nude,
Put their faith and trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer rivals. They're waving flags and guns and let me
It's 10 before the hour, thanks to our crew. Sharon Gordy, Bruce Enberg, Kate Petrini, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Ben Birch, and Catherine Bay, who's the executive producer and engineer for the program. And again, tomorrow night, Brad Friedman will be sitting in. Go to bradblog.com. I think he has posted part of an interview that he'll be conducting tomorrow, at least information about the program he's going to do tomorrow night in this time slot, and then I'll be back Thursday and Friday broadcasting from San Francisco. So if you live in the Bay Area, go to go to my website, MikeMulley.com, and you'll see information on this event tomorrow night. I hope you're going to get a ticket and come. Be there or be square, right? David is in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, long time no talk. I think I'm the old IE America, David. Hey, you know, I heard you talking. You're coming here tomorrow, right? Yoshi's?
Yes.
Yeah, good deal. Hey, you know, I heard you talking yesterday about it, and you were asking about the San Francisco Mime Troupe.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do definitely exist, and they had a great production this year. They, you know, they still do free stuff in the park.
Really?
Yeah, the one this year was dynamite. It was too big to fail, and it was all it was a great little piece about how the it was done with an African dialect, and it had to do with witch doctors and credit cards, and the seeking the mystery behind the economics of credit cards, and it had a lot to do. It was dynamite, and got good attendance.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear
get
that.
You hooked up if you want.
I'd love when I'm out there to meet some of those people. I met some of them back in the 80s during the Bad Old Reagan days when they were out on tour. I don't know if they still do that, but they came all the way to Atlanta and had them on the radio, which was kind of interesting to have a theatrical group on radio. But it was a real experience for me. And but I'm just glad to know that they're still doing theater. They've been around
50 years.
50 years, yeah.
Their 50th year, yeah. And you could go to, what is it, sfmt.org.
Is that what it is?
San Francisco Mime Troupe at ORG, yeah.
I love their T-shirts.
Oh, yeah, well, nothing's changed about that. Yeah, the one you missed was dynamite. One was 1600 Transylvania Avenue.
And, you know, somebody sent me an email last night after I talked about, asked the question about just that, 1600 Transylvania Avenue.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, so I've, that's what this person who wrote to me said. It was an excellent production. I'd love to...
same writer as this year, yeah.
I'd love to see... Michael. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, it was the same writer. Michael's been writing them for years, and just excellent. Yeah. This. Hey, well, one thing. Let's give a free plug for Yoshi's. Are you going to be in Oakland, or are you going to be in the San Francisco one?
I think it's the San Francisco one.
Okay. Yeah, that's the new one, and it's beautiful. It's about a block away from the Fillmore Theater, and the Mime Troupe actually. The Fillmore Theater was founded because of the Mime Troupe.
Really?
In the 60s, yeah, they were doing free concert or free plays in the park, right? And
right.
During the 60s, the anti-war movement, they were writing dynamite pieces.
Yeah.
And so the cops were always busting them for doing free performances in the park. So Bill Graham was the... he was the manager, road manager for the Mime Troupe.
Yeah.
And he needed some fundraisers to pay the legal bills for getting arrested all the time. And Chet Helms had the Fillmore at the time, and he let Bill Graham use it once in a while to do these fundraisers.
And the rest is history.
Well, sort of. Bill Graham went around Chet's back and got the exclusive contract for the Fillmore, and then Chet had to come up with the Avalon Ballroom. But but the Mime Troupe is definitely a thing of beauty. And if you want to get together, you put me back over to Kathy, and I'll if there's anybody else you want to run into out here, I can see what I could do.
That sounds great. Let me put you on hold, and thanks for the offer, David. I appreciate that. Very, very much. Thank you. Ron is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Talk to you again. Last guy on the line once again. I want to tell you that Scott Ritter, you remember him?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He was on Democracy Now! Today talking about this whole Iranian nuclear bubble.
Yeah.
And what he said essentially is that everybody else is blowing smoke and that the Iranians are in full compliance to the IAEA agreements that they've signed, because, you know, everybody's just different.
Right, right.
And the fact that they have transferred no nuclear materials to the other facility, and that they told everyone about it when they had to, according to their agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, in fact, the only ones there that are signatories to the NNT, which is which means they're doing the right thing. Everybody else is saying that they should do something other than what they've agreed to in the first place.
Yeah, somebody sent me a link to that interview with Amy Goodman, and
actually, Amy wasn't there. It was actually Abdur Kadouch.
The one thing I should have read today, and I did not, and I wish I would have, because if Scott Ritter says it, I'll take it at face value.
Yeah, he had the last 10 minutes of the show, and he
did
showed
he?
Everything that was wrong about what Sarkozy, Obama, and Brown were saying. He says that none of what they were saying is actually true, the fact that the Iranians are in full compliance.
You know, if the Bush administration had listened to nobody else but Scott Ritter, former Marine captain, combat person. If they would have listened to Scott Ritter
and Mohammed El-Baradei,
yeah, well, there would have been 5,000-6,000 Americans still alive. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, we're out of here. Thanks.
Have a good night.
All right, Ron, appreciate you checking in. I'll see you all Thursday evening. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.